Prison is an alienating experience, and for young people, it can be a difficult and disruptive part of their lives. With Indigenous children forming a large percentage of those in youth detention centres, we take a look at how jail time affects them on an emotional level. Why reporter Nicole Ng spoke to artist Zanny Begg about her residency at Raby Juvenile Justice Centre.
Young Indigenous people are 24 times more likely to end up in prison than their non-Indigenous counterparts. The impacts of detention have been under the spotlight since last year's Four Corners report on Dondale. But how does incarceration affect these young people on an emotional level? And how does their experience of childhood become different? Artist Zanny Begg undertook a four-month residency at Raby Juvenile Justice Centre in Sydney's West to document the lives of four boys.
I'm doing my debt to society by being in here. It might not be good for me at times, but I know for overall view, it's good for, you know, I don't know.
That was part of Zanny's film Doing Time. It explores how these young people experience the passing of time in these centres, and she says it was confronting being part of the project.
I think it was really hard to see kids in jail, especially kids who were, you know, one of them had started being involved in the criminal justice system from age 10. It's very young, and I think in that situation you've got to say, I'm not a big fan of prison for anyone, but in the case of kids I really think that it's society who's committed the crime if kids are in those sort of situations.
Even though these teenagers were doing time in a maximum security prison, Zanny said she opted not to be told about the crimes they had committed.
Before the project began, I was going to be briefed on what they had done. I actually asked not to be because I figured that these kids had been judged enough. I knew it must have been something serious because they were in a maximum security prison doing long sentences as, you know, 10-year-olds and 14-year-olds and so forth. But I prefer just to be a bit of a blank slate for them and just to not know. And I said, oh, look, just tell me at the end. And by the time the project ended, I didn't want to know.
The film appeared as part of a project by the Campbelltown Arts Centre to investigate the lives of young people in the area.
The show that the project was made for was called The List, and that was sort of idea about wish lists that kids might have about their future and so forth. But for us it had a really quite punitive and didactic meaning, which was that literally we had to write a list every time we came in of every single thing we brought in, pens, thumb drives, pencils, everything. And then on the out, we'd have to check that list to make sure nothing was given to the boys. My initial idea was that they might sit in their rooms and do some drawing, but they're not allowed pencils in their rooms because, you know, there's this fear of self-harm.
Curator Megan Monty says the film was a good opportunity for the boys to do something different.
She had a really good rapport with them, but they also had real freedom with the film in the end. It was about them. It was directed by them, and she sort of facilitated the opportunity. I think they individually all got something out of it, whether it was just the change in people that were engaged with them, other than who they used to every day, but also that opportunity to talk about themselves and to talk about their experience, basically what it was like to be in detention.
Zanny says that what was particularly striking about the Raby Juvenile Justice Centre was the fact that the majority of inmates were Indigenous.
99% of the kids that I met in the detention centre were Indigenous. So this is like a second stolen generation of Aboriginal children who've been taken off their families. And whatever crimes that they had committed, we have to put in context of the multiple crimes that our society has enacted against Indigenous communities.
Detention centres can be really isolating places for children. One of the boys in Zanny's film tries to describe the feeling.
You don't want to come here because even though, I don't know, it's hard to explain, you feel alone, but I don't know, there's so many people around you, it's just hard to explain.
It's bomb.
It's not good.
But it's not just physically isolating. Dr. Talia Anthony, Associate Professor of Law at the University of Technology, Sydney, says being separated from family and community at a young age can have large repercussions on adult life.
I think one of the major reasons is the problem of separation from families and separation from culture from a young age that gives children a strong sense of belonging and a strong sense of identity. There's strong research that suggests that if a child is placed in juvenile detention, they're much more likely to be placed in adult prisons when they reach the age of 18 and above.
Talia says the age of criminal responsibility could be changed to help these kids stay out of prisons.
Australia has one of the youngest ages of criminal responsibility. If we look to places like South America, it's well into the teens. Across Australia, the age is 10, which is still a very formative age for young people, and putting them in a closed cell at that age can have lifelong consequences and negligible benefits, I would suggest. So the age of 10 is way too young, and it's still while a child's brain is developing and they're still trying to comprehend the difference between right and wrong, and that process shouldn't be structured around punishments of prison.
In the meantime, though, arts programs and activities are helping these children live their fullest lives. I asked Sani Beg if there's a particular day or moment she remembers most vividly during her residency at Raby Juvenile Justice Centre.
I had this idea initially that I'd custom these really cool bikes and they could ride them, but of course that wasn't allowed. We had to use the bikes that the prison owned. And the authorities insisted that they wear these really ridiculous like knee pads and shoulder pads and helmets. And it was sort of patronising in that sense that they had to be overly coddled and protected. But when we were filming, they kind of forgot about us because we'd sort of become a little bit part of the furniture then. So that was a really beautiful day. The kids were a little bit out of routine and could just play with those bikes and just muck around and be a bit like kids. That really stayed with me, and I think for the boys it was kind of fun too.
Dr. Sani Beg, artist and organiser, ending that report by Nicole Ng.